She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree who copes with life by smoking too much weed. Dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Marihuanera.
Surprisingly, I was not someone who smoked a lot of weed when I was younger. I smoked here and there. And then when I got older, I used to go through phases. Like, you know, I'd go through and I'd smoke a little bit, and then I would stop for a while and then smoke again. And I used to remember when, like, pens became a thing, like the wax dab pens and stuff. So I used to get those and, like, hide it from my parents and smoke in my room. But I wasn't a big smoker or into cannabis before I got into this industry. Like, I dabbled in it, but I didn't know what, like, different strains or all that kind of stuff. And it was also back before we had all the different types of education that we have now and all the information that we have. I will tell you one story. I used to love taking edibles before a flight, and I went to Cabo for a big party, bachelorette party. I took the same edible there and then ended up taking the same edible back, but the one on the way back gave me such bad anxiety. And this was before things were tested and they were like, you know, we knew what milligrams were in each edible and all that kind of stuff. But we were in this airport in Cabo, and I don't speak Spanish. I couldn't understand what the lady on the overhead was saying. I kept thinking that we were leaving. I told my friend, I looked at her and I was like, don't leave me in Mexico. I'm freaking out right now. The floor looked all weird. I was like, what is happening? And I had been taking edibles for at least like a year and a half at this point. And so this has never happened to me. And I've heard stories from other friends. And we get on the plane and I'm sitting there and I'm sitting next to the window and my head's down and I'm like, oh man, this is like, we're sitting here for a really long time. What's going on? And I turned to my friend and I'm like, man, why have we been sitting here for 2 hours? She's like, girl, it's only been like 5 minutes. I thought we were on that tarmac for so long. We did not leave. I freaked out. And then ever since then, I have not been able to take edibles. And so once cannabis got regulated, I have tried edibles since then, like small microdosed gummies and stuff like that. But I still get a weird little anxiety, but now I, like, with all the drinks that are out and, like, the nano water soluble and things like that, those are my, like, go-to at this point. Because I still can't take edibles. I still get freaked out a little bit, but...
That's fair.
Yeah, so I don't have, like, you know, I didn't smoke a lot when I was younger. I smoked here and there, just like any kid who wants to try some weed. I used to own a restaurant, so I got into the restaurant business. I had an Indian restaurant, and my chef was creating our Indian sweets into edibles for, like, you know, people that wanted it. Like, he would just make it for friends and family, and they were really good. And so when things got legalized, I was like, right before things got legalized, I was convincing my dad, we got to get into this industry. We got to get into this industry. And we went to Canada that Christmas time, and Canada had just gotten legalized. And my dad was going to these parties and everyone was talking about it. And he was like, we're not doing this. We're not getting into it. My dad's an attorney. Like, he's like, no, we're not going to become drug dealers. Like, it's not happening. And I was like, well, dude, you're like missing out. And I like explained to him, like, we could do the edibles and we can, you know, have this whole thing. And so he like brushed it off, goes to Canada. Canada gets legalized. Everyone's talking about it. He does some research. I come back because I was staying at my friend's house for the week, and I come back to my grandparents, and he's like, okay, we're doing it. And I'm like, what? He's like, I looked into all the rules and regulations. Santa Ana is about to go up and running. So let's go look and try to get a dispensary. And then we'll get a kitchen and we'll get the chef to make the edibles and we'll sell these Indian sweets. And I'm like, you already did all of these, this planning. Like, you didn't even, you just told me I was crazy like a week ago.
Wow.
So we started it and we ended up, you know, looking and figuring it out. And we realized, like, the edible market was a little bit different because of the regulations, and it was still so new. So we're like, all right, let's try to get a dispensary. Because, like, Indian sweets are a little bit more on the perishable side. So we got to make sure we have the right outlet for it. And if we had the dispensary in Santa Ana, we would at least be able to get all the Indian people that we know in our area where the restaurant was and stuff to be able to get access to those sweets. And so we were working on our dispensary license, and Santa Ana became very oversaturated, and I was a little nervous on if we were even going to get a license, and basically a cultivation facility fell into my lap. Someone was like, hey, we ran out of money. Can you take over this project? And I was like, okay, and the numbers looked good, and we were like, let's just do that. So we took out our application from the dispensary thing, and we went to Long Beach and we inherited a cultivation facility. And at that time, one of my good friends wanted to grow, so we brought him on and some other, you know, friends, which is like my grow team. And we had a couple different consultants, you know, and we went through some tough times, up and down for sure, but now I have a solid team. A lot of people who were started with me aren't with me, but then there's one or two that are still there, and like, we've lost a lot of employees, but we got there. So that's kind of how I got into this industry.
Amazing story. I love that journey. It's really amazing how sometimes parents need to see it to believe it, or hear it from somebody else. When I started this podcast, my mom right away was like, people get into turf wars over drugs, over marijuana. I'm like, this is not that kind of a situation. This is a podcast.
And like that, and that's the thing is, like, my mom was like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, and at that point, she did, like, my dad was already backing me up. What was she going to do? And so it was one of those things where we had to really, like, I thought I was going to get a lot more pushback from my family, but we didn't. It was very supportive and on my end. And it was funny because once we got into the industry and people started finding out what I did, all of the aunties and uncles that are like, you know, my parents' friends, we'd go to parties. They'd be like, oh, did you bring me some samples? Like, oh,
love it.
You know, and it's like, oh, you guys sell smoke? Found out my dad smokes. Didn't know that. I was like, I've been hiding weed from you for this long because why? So
stop it.
Yeah. My dad.
How did you find out that your dad smokes weed?
I mean, I knew my dad my dad went to college. He was in a frat. We've had the conversation around drugs when I was younger. So he has told me that he's tried pot and that, you know, they experimented back in the day. He never told me that he was still smoking weed. He has a house in Rosarito, and that's where he goes to enjoy his relaxation. And so he's got his little mini bong and his little stash, and now it's filled with Hey Bud stash, so that's cool. It's, you know, he's got that, but he,
I love it
that they all
living the life. That's,
yeah,
life.
And they all go, like, all his friends, cool. And you know, I'm probably throwing them all under the bus, but they all smoke weed and it's great, and like,
love it.
It's different, so we get to experiment with them too, and like, get them to try new products because they don't know. And so I get to educate my parents' friends, and like, they love the gummies. The sweet sleep gummies are my dad's favorite, so he goes to the dispensary, picks them up now. My mom takes them, but you know, we're slowly getting the grandparents into it now. That's the next step.
This is incredible. I love talking to older people about cannabis, and like, for us, you know, the idea of like just a bunch of señoras who are stoners is just the ultimate goal. So I love that you had so much positive feedback from your community and from older generations. And are a lot of your friends that are working with you in cannabis, are they people that, like, you've met in the industry, or are they also people that, like, you've grown up with or known from school and life?
So, originally, my original partner, who's no longer with me, was my best friend. We partnered in on this together. It wasn't something he was happy doing anymore, so he went his separate way, which is cool, you know. And the other person that I partnered with when we first started, which is Kevin, my compliance manager, my, like, right-hand man, he is actually one of my brother's best friends from school. So he came on, and, like, we just kind of built our team around that. I got James, who is also someone I knew through a group of friends. We were acquaintances. We were in the same circle, but we weren't, like, you know, hanging out every day or every weekend. But he had reached out. He handles all the grow operations on the daily. Dustin came through Kevin, and he handles all of our watering and nutrition. And then Chris, our veg guy, came from another industry group of friends that had recommended him to us. And so that's my team. They're great. I have a whole team of boys who support the women in cannabis. Like, I was like, can I put it? Do you guys care? And they're like, no, just do it. So, I do have a whole team of boys. It's interesting, 'cause, you know, when you say women in cannabis and we support each other and we want to, like, support other women, I was struggling with that because my whole entire team was men. But they were men that supported me, and that's, like, you don't find that a lot either in this industry, because I've had to go through a lot to get the respect. And, you know, conversations change when people find out I'm the owner and it's not my husband, and I don't have a husband, but, like, I'm not attached to anyone on the license, which a lot of, like, some of the women in this industry, it's their husband and them, or, like, they have the wife or the women and they're, like, business partners. It's just me.
Amazing. You know?
So I don't have business partners. I have investors, but they're not on my, you know, they're private investors. They're people that believed in me and wanted to give me money to do this. And I'm here.
It's what you're doing is really incredible. And I'm wondering, what is your assessment of, like, of course, we know that cannabis is still very male dominated, very white still. What is your assessment of representation and access and equity for the Asian community in cannabis? And as, you know, an Indian woman, are there a lot of others like you that you've seen in the industry?
Surprisingly, I have never met, like, I've met Indians in the industry, like, here and there. My brother is actually in the industry. He owns a license as well, and so he is representing the 1% with me.
Your family is, like, doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah, so he's Indian. We see other, like, I haven't got to meet everybody in California. I'm sure there's Indians around that are in cannabis. Interestingly enough, that one of the other women-owned licenses that are cultivator is Anna, who owns Cam and Cali, or Cam, California artisanal medicine brand, and her flower is amazing. And I just recently got to meet her, and she's Indian as well, I'm pretty sure. But it was funny because I kept meeting these guys, and they're like, "Oh, you need to meet Anna. You remind me of Anna." And I finally got to meet her, and now I see why everyone was saying it, because we're both Indian. And we're both cultivators. So, but her flower is really top notch, and I respect her, and it's great to see her. She's a little bit on the older, like, older than me, so it's someone I can look up to, because, and even if I don't know her on a personal level, her brand alone is just amazing. And her flower is just really good.
Thank you for that rec. I know my listeners definitely love to follow up when they hear about new brands, new strains, new companies on this podcast. So go check everything that Natasha's talking about. Go check it out. Give it a follow. Give it a purchase. Can you tell us more about Hey Bud, and what is it like getting a brand like this off the ground and, like, into people's hands and into their, like, their sphere of knowledge when it comes to weed?
So, I have been in sales for a really long time. I used to sell cell phones, and I worked at the bank, and then I had a restaurant. So I've always had the B to C model. I've always been able to get feedback. I've always been able to talk to customers. I've always been able to be right then and there. This has been difficult because getting out a brand, once it's in the stores, I don't know what happens. I don't know the feedback. The way that the industry's ran is very different than any type of other industry because we're still trying to figure it out. We got to go through all these regulations. We can't get free samples. It's like a whole thing. So being able to talk to customers is one of my like goals this year of like doing more PADs. Because of COVID, when we launched last year, a lot of the stores weren't doing PADs, so I couldn't be in the stores. It was really, you know, we launched during a pandemic. And unfortunately, when we did launch, we launched and it was great. We launched with these 2 gram bags. At that time, I was like, look, no one has money. Everyone's kind of sitting at home. People are on unemployment, so let's do a 2-grammer. It's a little bit more than 1 gram, a little less than an eighth, but the price point's on a good one. And those things were flying off the shelf. And we did 6 or 7 drops consistently every 15 days. We were in 7 to 8 stores. We were doing really well, and then I got a virus in my grow from a nursery, and everything kind of crashed, and I was very defeated because the weed was growing fine, and our weights were just not there, and we were, like, sitting there scratching our head, like, what the heck is happening? And I'm the type of person, if I'm not really happy with a harvest and if our team wouldn't smoke it, we're not putting it in a jar or putting it out. We'll just bulk it and sell it to whoever wants it, you know? And that's kind of how it's been. I think my guys are a little more particular, so that's why. And sometimes I'll sit there and be like, oh, this is great for, like, this is okay. And I know consumers probably wouldn't know the difference between very slight, like, things, but because we're so picky, we want to be picky with our brand. And so we kind of put a halt to it. We went on Instagram. I told everyone, like, hey, we're going through something. We'll be back in stores. And unfortunately, when I relaunched with 4 grams and 2 grams and diamonds. And it was really hard to get back into some of the stores that I was currently in. And even now, like we've had a couple drops now. We're still trying to get back into stores, but the price point's too high because they say that, no, I don't have a brand, like, a face to the brand. No one knows who I am. Why? Like, you know, and I believe that it's good quality weed. It shouldn't matter. You know, I had a consultant who I thought was crazy at one point, but now it's stuck with me. If it's good weed, put in a brown paper bag and it'll sell. And that kind of has stuck in the back of my head now. And I agree with him because, like, I think people want just consistent good weed. It doesn't really matter what the brand, who it's behind, as long as it's consistent, it's good. People will spend the money. There's a price point for everybody. There's a, you know, everyone has their different things that they're looking for. And I think there's space for everyone. It's just trying to break in as a new brand and getting these buyers and these stores to take a chance on us. Because again, the way that things were ran in the traditional side and how we're trying to run it as a business, we're 2 different models. And I feel like some of the stores are still a little on that traditional side of doing things. And when you can't see or smell the weed and it comes in a bag, people don't tend to think it's premium. So I'm having a hard time right now too with, we're in a Mylar bag versus a jar. I think jars take up more space. I think there's too much packaging that goes with the jars. And I think the way that I cure and dry my product and the quality control I have, our stuff stays fresher in a jar versus someone who's white labeling some weed that got harvested a couple weeks ago and it got to the distro and then it got to their brand and then they put it in a Mylar bag. So it just depends on, like, what the brand itself is doing and its curing and drying process as well. And because we are in-house and we're doing everything in-house, we take that extra time for the product that we're putting in our bags to make sure it's cured properly before it goes in that bag. And it's like the perfect type of moisture and temperature and all that kind of stuff that goes into the drying and curing process.
Thank you for taking us through your process. I know a lot of our listeners are like big nerds for this stuff. And it's really fascinating to hear. Natasha, you're based out of Long Beach, right?
Yes.
So where can folks find Hey Bud? Where is it carried? Is there a way for people to learn more about you, learn more about your brand and your operation? How can people find you, support, and make purchases?
So we've got a couple things going on. So first of all, you can find us in Chronic in Long Beach. You can find us at Long Beach Green Room. Santa Ana is going to be Tropicana. And then we're also in Cookies Maywood. Each store varies on what they carry. Some of them carry our 2 grams. Some of them just want to carry our 4 grams. All of the stores should carry our diamonds, but different flavors vary as well. Our diamonds are high quality, CRC free. So you're getting the best material from us, processed, clean, and to you guys. But those are the places you can purchase currently. I did just recently invest into a delivery service out in the IE. So we will be popping up in the next week or so, and that's called live.delivery. You can find us on Weed Maps, and then if people follow me on Instagram, they'll be able to get all those updates. But we'll be also carrying Hey Bud there so that people in the IE can also get it delivered to them. And then we'll be expanding our delivery as well in the next couple months.
Oh my gosh. So you have like a full 360 operation going on here. You're growing, you're cultivating, you're packaging, you're distributing, and you're delivering. Is that correct?
Yes. We're not distributing. We do have a distribution partner. Okay. I mean, my goal this year is to get my own distribution license so I can, you know, be vertically integrated. But yeah, you can find us. I think by the time this will go live, I don't know if we should be able to, our delivery should be up and running basically. So, I will make sure I give you all of the links and handles and all that kind of stuff so your listeners can follow us. But Hey Bud Cannabis on Instagram, we are shadow banned, so you got to type it all out. I know. My Instagram is just Hey Bud, it's Natasha. If anyone wants to find me, and then our delivery will be live.delivery. So those are the three places that you can find more about our brand and like delivery service, but then also all the partnered stores that I mentioned. Our website also will have updated retail partners as well, so that you can always find a location near you as we expand.
Fantastic. And for everybody listening, Natasha and I are plotting a visit to her grow to check it out and see the facility and get a tour. So hopefully we'll have some video content out for you guys so you can get more of a behind the scenes look into Hey Bud and everything Natasha has going on. I'm so glad that your weed is at Cookies Maywood. I'm gonna hop on over there and get some. I went for like the reopening and it's so beautiful. If you guys have not checked out the new Cookies Maywood, like it's top of the line. So go down there, get some Hey Bud. It's gonna be cute.
Oh yeah, and our bags just look so great on the wall. When you walk in, you won't miss it. And I think they just got the fresh batch of stuff, so you should definitely go before they sell out again. But we have a harvest every 15 days, so the goal is that every 15 days there's a new batch of stuff, new strains coming out. We don't do back-to-back strains. So if you like something, I would go and get it, because once it's gone, it might not come back in rotation for a minute. So this is what I wanted to do, because we're a small facility. We're only 100 lighters. So we can only do so much at once. And hopefully when we expand, we'll have a way to keep like some of our high end, like reserve line on the shelf all the time. But right now we're still doing, you know, we're still trying to figure out what works, what doesn't, what strains to put out. And I feel like I don't want to do the same things as everybody else. And we have about 7 years of backstock of seeds from my breeder cultivator. So we're about to throw a 420 strain out that is a forbidden fruit and palmetto cross. It's like pinkish purple and it's very fruity, and it's going to be like, we don't have a name for it yet. We're still working on it, but that's going to be our 420 drop. And so we're about to put out strains that no one has. And I think that's going to keep us a little different from everybody else. And once those strains are out, you got to go to the dispensary, you got to go pick it up, and then it might not come back. And I'll try to put it back if we get enough people asking for it, but like I want customers to get excited for the next drop. I want them to go 15 days, like, get to that store, yeah, sell it out, and then the stores are coming back for us in 15 days again for another batch. So that's kind of my goal of, like, how I want things to go for the next couple months. And then once we get to a point where we can expand, we'll have strains that are consistently on the shelf, but we'll still be able to put out new things.
That's a great concept. It's like, you know, shoe drops, but it's for weed strains.
Exactly that same model. I want to be like the Jordans that everyone keeps trying to get, or like, or the Yeezys, or, you know,
I
want you to know that there's a drop, and like, we're trying to do some fun stuff where, like, even with the delivery, where you can go on our website and pre-order, hopefully, so that you have it and we'll deliver it. So we're working on the logistics of some ideas, but everything that I do, I'm very transparent on Hey Bud Cannabis. I try to show as much behind the scenes. I have been inactive this week just because I've been a little busy, but normally, you know, when we're harvesting and we're transplanting, I'm showing all that in our stories. Any retail partners, every time the store gets a fresh batch, I'm posting it on our Instagram stories. So, you know, I run it. If you have questions, people can DM us and I'll try to get to you guys. And we do a lot of, like, fun stuff on there, so.
Love it. Check out Hey Bud. Check out everything Natasha's doing. Thank you so much for coming to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, and telling us all about your relationship with cannabis and Hey Bud. Really nice to have you. Yeah, that's the interview. We did it.
Marihuana.